welcome to Pimpin' Positivity Podcast. My name is Alethea Crimmins. You may also know me as Miss HDIC, where I am here to motivate you, educate you, hype you up, and talk about some real shit along the way. Today, we are going to talk about creating your yes. How many times have people told you that you couldn't do shit? How many times have people told you, okay, well, you can't do that because of this? I can give you an example right now. I stutter. And you know how many times people told me, okay, well, you can't talk like this. You will never be able to speak in front of people because you stutter. You will never be able to read out loud because you stutter. I would rather you not talk because you stutter, bitch. Not me just leaving on from the Jennifer Hudson show. Me and my stutter. So do not let anybody tell you what you cannot do, because you have to create your own yes in spite of people saying, no, you can't. Because sometimes people will tell you no because they can't do it. So just because they can't do it, they want to project that onto you. Stop letting people stop your shine because they dim. That's a them problem. It was never a you problem. Okay, so I have a guest today, y'all. I have been knowing this amazing woman for a very long time, and she has created her own yes. So I want to introduce you to an amazing author. If you do not know her, you're going to know her by the end of this podcast. You're going to know her today, okay? So I want to introduce you to author Trinity.
Hey. thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. And she's so, ain't she pretty?
Period.
Can we get into it, Jack? She's so pretty. I mean, can we just represent for the plus size, for all this foopaliciousness that's sitting right here before you? Can we just get into the foopaliciousness? I mean, baby, they can't tell me nothing about us plus size girls being ugly, because baby, our face value never declines. Okay, and winter is coming, so baby, you might need to get you some foop in your life. I'm just saying, okay. All right. Hi, girl.
Hey, mom.
So tell us a little bit about who author Trinae is.
I am a urban fiction author of like 7 years. I think I made 7 years in June. But I have like 43 titles or something. Most are on Amazon, or can be found in like your public libraries. Barnes & Noble's, Books A Million websites, type of things like that. I have some on my personal website, but yeah.
So did you ever think, so was this something that you always wanted to do, and what obstacles did you face?
It wasn't. It was not. I never had it in my mind that I don't even think I thought that this was something that was, that I was able to do just on my own, type of thing. I had always been good at like writing. So like writing papers, writing, you know, things like that. Like I was always good at that, but I didn't know it would have translate to books the way it did.
So what you're saying is, if I was in school and I needed you
that.
To write my essay, I'd be like, look,
can I do that.
Y'all need an essay? No, I'm not.
No, okay. I do. And I got receipts.
Because we not about to do this on TV. Nuh-uh.
We ain't gonna say their name.
I mean, I'm just saying, you know, sly little $25, $50 a paper. No, but
a page, not a paper.
Damn.
Oh, because I get A's.
What?
Oh, don't play with it. Nah.
Yeah. Uh-uh. So we going to get off of this. Because that's not what we promoting here. Okay, so get back to you writing, girl.
Writing paper? No. Uh-huh.
Books.
Okay, but yeah, so no, it was not like, I'm friends with like a lot of urban fiction authors. Yeah, and it's a lot. So I'm friends with like a lot of urban fiction authors, and most of their thing is, oh, I always knew I wanted to write. It was not. I went to school for cosmetology. I graduated as a dialysis technician. What else I went to school for? I went to school for something else. Oh, I went to nursing school. Like, it just did not. Like,
so what was your, like, aha moment? Like, I'm a be an author.
So I was always a reader. Like, you could always, like, even as a child, you could always find me in a book. It didn't matter what genre, always a reader. And then I was working at a call center, and I got sick. I found out I was diabetic. And I was on leave, I want to say, when I started writing. I had to have a surgery, and I started writing. And I was literally just writing on my laptop because just as a way, I think I was reading books and I had got to this reader block, and the books that I was reading, I was like, I'm not feeling this. So then I was like, I'm gonna write the book I want to read.
Okay.
And it was my first book, The Sins of My Beretta. I started typing it on my own.
And that was the first book. And I read that book, y'all, when I tell you, cause I was like, she's an author? And I was like, okay, well, let me get the book. And I remember because I downloaded it on my Kindle at the time. Y'all, when I tell you from the moment I started to read the first, it's like literally I finished that entire book in like a night. Like, it was so good. Like, yeah, like you really have like a gift. Like, you have a gift, but where does this come from? Like, where do these storylines come from?
Like, I truly don't know. Like, and it's to the point where I come up with storylines so often now that I sell them to other authors or aspiring authors. Like, I sell storylines, like, because I come up with them so often, it's no way I can write as often. Like, I have literally been in a car, heard a song come on, and was like, oh, and I will sit here and talk you out of storyline. Like, I kid you not, I can probably, if you was to throw a scenario at me, I can make a storyline about it.
That is
on the spot.
That is also reminiscent to how I do my content. Like, I can be scrolling and hear somebody say, despite of, and then my mom would be like, despite of your pain, you could be, and despite of your, you could be, and despite of, because baby, you are everything, and okay, you're welcome. Yeah. And that's so I can totally relate. But also, I, like, my friends may call, and because I am the advice giver and I'm also the listener, and they'll call me and they'll tell me things that they go through, and I get some of my content from that. Does that happen with your books also?
Yeah. My cousin.
If I would have bet some money, I said that
nobody gives me more ideas then my cousin. Like, this girl, life is not, like, you know how this motherfucker is not real.
I said that girl is not real
or something. Nothing else gives me more inspiration than the shit she goes through. And it'd be like, stuff she goes through daily, I can make storylines from daily. Like, something's wrong with her. But my cousin.
I'm telling you, I just told my wife, I said, I bet you a lot of this come from my cousin.
Yes.
So I want to dive into one of the books that I just got into, and it is a page turner. Like, I was like, this some real, because I know a lot of women deal with this stuff on a daily basis. I was reading and I was like, she don't get out of my business. She talking my business in this book.
That is the goal with these books.
Listen,
that's the goal.
This is called Winter and Ice Cold Love. Okay, let me tell you something. Let me just, okay, because I was highlighting some stuff in this book.
It's the highlighting, like, this is the Bible.
because I was like, okay, and it just turned to this page. Just listen to this. Okay, ladies, is you listening? Call me crazy. crazy, but I didn't want to leave him like this. Most people would be gone. They would see this as God giving them a sign. I wanted to leave. I wanted to leave so damn bad, but I couldn't. Not while his back was against the wall. Looking at my cell phone, sitting on the bed, I prayed he decided to call back in that moment. That in itself, I was like, how many times have I been there when I was like, God damn it, I know I'm supposed to leave his ass, but I can't because I just feel that he needed me. And then this held captive by loyalty. Bitch. I was held captive because I felt I had to be loyal. Cause this man done got me out the gutter. I felt he saved me. And so I felt like I had to be loyal to my man. Thank you to my man.
And not loyal to yourself.
Girl. How many women have been there? Like, we know
Everybody.
That we are supposed to leave.
Everybody.
God has given you signs that say, bitch, leave. And you just there because that's my man. He beating you all upside the head and you just, that's my man. But you see, the part when she was like, I was crying and I was ready to go. But the dick was so... We get dickmatized. And it's just like, man, it's like I want to leave and I want to go, but the flesh be weak in this.
Everybody been there. It's different levels to how much you finna take, but every woman done been there. Because we always give too much.
We do. Like, so give me a little backstory. Give the audience a little backstory on Winter and her relationship with Ice.
I mean, from the beginning, like the very beginning, it's literally a toxic relationship. Like, you know that Winter should not be there. Winter knows Winter should not be there. But he literally is all she had. I mean, him and her sister. And it wasn't just her loyalty towards him that kept her there. Because, you know.
Yes.
He was using her sister against her
as
too.
Leverage.
Yeah, so it was her loyalty to her. She was just loyal to everybody more than she was to herself. And I mean, I could understand her being loyal to her little sister. You know, she was her sister's guardian. But yes, so she knew she shouldn't have been there. And like, he was a cheater. He was manipulative. He was just toxic. And he knew he didn't deserve her. But I mean, and most dudes do. And it's one of those, I'm not willing to let you go because I know you can do better. But I want to be your better. I want to be where you start and stop it. And that was their relationship. Like,
baby, you said he knew that he deserved better.
That she deserved better.
That she deserved better. But he did not let her go because he felt like I wanted to be your better.
Not I wanted to be your better, because he didn't want to better himself. I just want you to feel like I am as good as
yes,
you.
Yes,
that's where
yes.
he was with it. Like, he knew she had options she could weigh.
And he was very, he is extremely narcissistic.
Very.
And I was like, oh my God, how many times have I been in this situation? Y'all, how many times have you been or... is now
right
in this situation where you feel like you have to be loyal to this person because you feel like there's nothing, you know that there's something better out there, but it's just you can't make yourself just get up and go. And then the opportunity came where she was able to. And she was still second guessing herself. And it was literally like, here you go.
Like, God done put a bow on it. What more you gonna do?
And she was still like.
But that's most women though. Because she tried to make the excuse of, I'm loyal. I don't want to be disloyal, especially in this time of need. And it's like, I hate that term of I'm loyal, so I can't do him like that. Because it's like, you're supposed to be loyal to yourself. Mm. Where's your loyalty when it counts?
But you can't do him like that, but he doing you like that. He cheated.
But think about
several times. Several times. Like from the jump, from the gate, in the first five pages. In the first five pages. Girl, I wish a bitch would call my phone.
It was the first page.
Yeah, it was like literally like the first two pages. You were like, I know you lying. And no, like it, yeah, like it grabs you. And I was like, you are an awesome writer.
Thank you.
Because it was just like, clutches pearls. So,
and let me tell you what the thought process about this book was. So another author reached out. In our industry, there is like a lot of division.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, with different publishing houses, it's gotten better over time, but it used to be really horrible to where it was like, these motherfuckers thought they was like Death Row or something, and Bad Boy, like, I can't mess with you because you signed to such and such. So, Arthur reached out and was like, let's bridge this. I'm going to pick some authors from different publishing houses, and we're going to come together and do a spin on Disney stories.
Oh.
So it was like, you're going to take the idea of a Disney story and we're going to make it urban. So
what was
Frozen,
this?
Her and her sister.
Bruh. So now I'm going to have to go home and reread. I would have never.
Like, this was Frozen. So winter. Even the little winter theme, you know? Yeah.
So wait. So the guy that shows up, Supreme.
Well, I mean, I still had to make it urban love. So we had to still, like, you know, Anna didn't end up with a man.
Right.
Our characters want
they
that.
Said that, our like, they said that, you know, she was like me. Like, she was a little less.
I heard that too, though.
On the cool. Like,
I heard that too.
She was like me. Like, she was liking the women's on the cool.
But, you know, Disney wasn't rocking with this.
So I know. They was mad.
You were supposed to just speculate, though.
They was mad because, I mean, let that girl like women. Let her love who she love. Disney.
Disney not having it. Because then here you got the parents. My child will never watch this again.
Why you so?
Yeah, they gonna kiss your child, chewing up that child food after you. Okay,
you know what?
Okay,
so give us the backstory on the other. So after she kind of left Ice alone, kind of finally, then a new guy comes into her life.
It's always a new guy. Listen, that's what we do with the urban fiction. We gotta introduce you to. Okay, we didn't put you through this ringer. Cause think about relationships, man. If you get this easy relationship, that's when people start. What was your prayer? Cause they're so used to the hard, then it flowing right. So she had to go through the trauma to appreciate, you know.
But sometimes it seems like she wasn't fully healed.
She wasn't. It wasn't from. Fully. She wasn't halfway healed.
She wasn't healed.
She just went from one traumatic situation to another. Because, I mean, while Supreme was a good guy, he still had his flaws. He wasn't without flaw. And she still, like, she just wanted a breath of fresh air.
And oftentimes, we as women, that's what we do. We are in a toxic relationship that we ourselves need to heal from. And instead of us healing, because sometimes you have to find yourself by yourself. And instead of us healing, we look to somebody else to heal us.
Right.
Instead of healing on your own.
And then you get this trauma bond thing, because how this person, the people that sometimes the men we go look to heal us, they need healing. They need counseling.
They already said
they healing you and they need a healing. Like, yeah, so now y'all just too lost. Yeah. Relationship doom from the beginning.
It's like if I have COVID. I can't go to you to heal me and you got COVID. It's like, well, bitch, both of us still sick. So we can't help each other because we still sick. So what are you going to do for me?
You come to me with COVID and I'm going to Lysol you in the face like some mace. Because what you doing? Go to urgent care, baby. This ain't that. So why would you bring that to my door? In fact, I'm calling the cops. You're trying to kill me.
It was.
This is attempted murder. You're going to jail.
Are you a huge cunt?
Us too. Wait, can we even say cunt?
Of course. It's empowering these days. Cunt, 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 cunt. I'm Ange Balasone, aka the drag queen, Fat Girl Gina.
And I'm Mike Fails, just a normal gay guy, I guess?
And we're the hosts of The Big Cunty Couch,
a gorgeous new talk show podcast where we invite queers and peers to sit bitch and be fierce on a huge ass couch
while we gab about all things gay.
So come get cozy.
And cunty.
With us. We're pan for platforms, so find us anywhere online and get listening, sweetie.
Or watching.
Or both.
Otherwise, why the hell am I in full drag?
And we'll see you on The Big Oh, wait. I thought we were going to say that together.
No. On The Big Cunty Couch. Mwah.
Y'all don't worry about it. This some mind your business. And I felt like I was supposed to bring this because I knew I was going to talk to you. Because
flash of coke.
Don't worry about what's in this cup.
Don't worry about what's in my cup. It's my cup.
Exactly.
You know, Lorraine said that.
Aggravating. So you said that you never wanted to write. When you actually started writing and you said, okay, I'm going to be an author. I'm an author. I'm going to do this. How many people were like, girl?
No, I honestly didn't get. Girl, you can't do that. Like, I did not get that. I didn't get a lot of support from home.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't get, like, I got some support. Don't get me wrong. But I didn't get negative. I didn't get nobody telling me, don't do that. Don't. In fact, I didn't tell anybody until I was signed. Nobody knew I was writing a book. Nobody knew any of this.
Was there like a reason why you didn't tell anybody, or are you just kind of
because
to...
again, I didn't have it in my mind that I was going to be an author. Like, literally, I was just writing. I needed an outlet. I was literally going through it. When I was diagnosed with diabetes, I couldn't. It's not that I couldn't make sense of it, but I don't know. I was just in a bad place.
And you were in a coma, correct?
Yeah. It was like a year and a half, 2 years after I was diagnosed. But yeah.
And how did that like affect you moving forward? Like once you got out of that coma, like were you like, okay, I'm a go back full force?
No. So I think if I was to say it now, I would say that coma was probably the best thing that happened to me because I had a lot of childhood trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And I started therapy after the coma.
Mm-hmm.
When I went from ICU to they put me in a regular room. They didn't just send me home. You know, I was in ICU for like a week or so, and then they moved me to a regular room. And my doctor was like, he had them pulled my aunt to the side and was like, you know, she's really showing signs of depression. And, you know, like, I want her to see somebody. So in the hospital, they actually sent a therapist to see me in the hospital because I didn't, you know, realize it was, oh, you're being depressed. But it was just like, he was like, she's just sitting in the room, no TV on, no, you know, like the windows drawn or whatever. And most time, like people think after a coma, oh, you done been sleeping, so you're up now.
Mm-hmm.
No, your body is so exhausted. I was sleeping a lot. So it would really be like sleeping, then just like up staring. I was in what people didn't realize. And I really couldn't tell my family because I hadn't yet told them that I was molested
mm-hmm.
as a child. So it was like, the way my therapist explained it was like, you know, you mentally block out certain traumas.
You do.
So I hadn't thought about it for a while. And then after the coma, it had got to a point where, so I was in a medically induced coma. I was on the way there already. I went into, it's called diabetic ketoacidosis. And it was like, my mind was not connecting to what, you know, my brain wasn't working with my body type of thing. And I don't even recall, I actually went to I guess it was the day before, my mommy too, that's what I call my stepmom. She called the ambulance because I was unresponsive, or I think she was like, I was just staring at her. Like I wasn't responding. I was, you know, I wasn't responding, but I was up looking at her or whatever. And they knew that my sugar had been high. Cause I had went to the hospital like 5 times in a row. Like literally 5 days in a row, and the hospital kept telling me, or the doctor would say, oh, and at one point I saw the same doctor 3 times and he was just like, oh, it's because you're overweight. No, I have diabetes because I'm overweight. My sugar is not normally this high. And so they would like give me fluids and send me home. And then my body started going through all the motions. And if I was in my right mind, I'm a Google queen. TikTok everything, but I was Googling everything.
Man, Google will have you thinking that you're about to pass.
No, because let me tell you, afterwards, I Googled the symptoms and it came up what the hell was going on with me.
Okay.
So literally, but my mind was like, the doctor was like, at that point, she was already losing it. Like my mind was not working as it should have been. So we literally thought I had food poisoning at one point, because the day before I actually went to the hospital, maybe 2 days before I went to the hospital, I was like trying to eat some watermelon or something. And I was at my grandmother's house and I hadn't ate it. You know, I was dehydrated, whatever. And it all came up. So we thought food poisoning. And we were supposed to go on a camping trip. My whole family, we do stuff like that. But we were supposed to go on a camping trip. We don't do like camping in the woods and
okay,
stuff. Like because, we do cabins.
Oh.
Yeah. No.
Because we don't camp. Okay.
Yeah, I don't do that. We do cabins with like air conditioner. Okay.
Yes.
Air conditioner. But we were supposed to go, and it was like, I want to say we were going to like Jimmy Davis State Park, maybe, or Chico State Park, one of them. And I know that it's far out. So we were like, they didn't want me to go because I was already sick. And I was like, yeah. So, but they also didn't want me to stay home alone. So I went to my dad's, which was a good thing because I was living alone. So if I would have went home alone, yeah. So the next morning, I guess my mommy too, my dad drives trucks. She had went bring him to his 18-wheeler. And when she came back, I guess that's when I was out of it. She called the ambulance and she was like, you know, like I was fighting these people. I don't remember any of that. Like not none of it. Jeez. But she was like, I was fighting these people. They went to check my sugar and it was too high for their meter. It just said high. I want to say the meter go up to like 700 or something.
Jesus.
Like that. It literally only said high, but I had been going back and forth to the hospital. They give me fluids and send me home, and then it's still shooting right back up. So I went to UMC. I never go to the hospital. Let's be clear. I never go to the hospital. But my grandmother, my mommy too called to tell them something was going on with me, and she was like, make them bring her to UMC. And those people saved my damn life.
Because we don't often, like, us as people, like, we don't always like to take care. Like, we can know that something wrong. Give us some water. She gonna be all right.
No, but I am not that type. That's why I'm like, I was there to the hospital. I did what I was supposed to do. I knew something was wrong. But no, they like literally kept giving me the runaround. And I'm not gonna lie to you. At that time, I was not somebody that was on it with going to my primary doctor. And, you know, I'm okay. I'm not sick. So I was not that person. And I didn't take diabetes seriously at that point. I was not taking it serious. So, like, I knew that, you know, something was wrong. But if I was taking it, like, I don't have it now. But I was taking it seriously after that, of course. But, yeah, so waking up from that is literally having to process, you almost died. Let's be clear, like, it's having to process that on top of, like, waking up. I had, like, first of all, my vision was so messed up with diabetes. Like, you know, your sugar elevates, your vision gets blurred. My vision was so messed up, my phone could be right here and I could not see it. So I feared that I can't see. Like, Like, that was like something else that I was thinking of. And I'm not expressing this to anybody. I'm just sitting here with
and holding all of all that. In.
And then I'm having like brain farts. Like I would like mentally just sit there and be like trying to remember stuff. And I'm remembering all kind of traumatic stuff. And I'm just reliving what happened to me as a child. So I was dealing with that. And I started therapy. And I've been in therapy since. It's been like 5-6 years since. I've been in therapy since. I love my therapy.
So after all of that, after your bout with death, like after the, you know, your reliving your trauma, after you going to therapy, do you ever relate some of that in your books?
I did it in the Sins of My Beretta. Remember, she was molested. She was raped. Like, it's a few of my books where I'll speak on therapy. I speak on, you know, molestation. I speak on it. Like, I relate in my books often.
So if you could speak to women or girls or anybody that's had any type of childhood trauma like you had, what would be the advice that you, because I know that a lot of my listeners have been through the same thing and they hold it in because they feel like I have to hold this in. I can't burden anybody with this. Like, this is my issue. What would you tell that teenage girl? What would you tell them that's dealing with this right now? What would you say? What advice would you give?
So for me, it was two different people and they were family members. So I would literally, my excuse for the longest for why I didn't tell was my family is so close. Like, but then it was like, that's why you need to tell. Like, you know, but I didn't tell because I was like, and then I also was so scared about the, man, what if I say this to, like my aunt raised me. I was like, if I was to tell my aunt that and that she questioned it, I think I'd be devastated.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing to you is, that's not your burden to carry. Like, that's not your secret to keep. That's not your burden to carry. And if you made it through that, whatever happens after you tell your truth, you can handle it. And I don't care if you can't see past your truth. Like, if you can't see and it's a question, like, I don't know how people are going to receive this. It doesn't matter because it's not about them. And you tell your truth for you so that the healing can start. Because it cannot start while you're still carrying it. It can't. I was in therapy for about 3 years before I finally told my family. Like, and my therapist was like, we are getting nowhere if you're not going to open up about it, because you're still holding that in. Like, you can't heal while you're still holding mm-hmm. that. So I promise you, I felt the freest after saying, I cried so much. I was actually embarrassed to have to say that. And it's like, what the hell are you embarrassed for? You mm-hmm, didn't do anything.
Right.
But still, I was embarrassed. I was scared because, again, still at my big age, I still was like, dog, if somebody questioned, I'm the type of person I will cut anybody off. I do not play about me anymore. Therapy. Got okay. me to this point. I do not
honey,
play about me.
Because please don't, because I don't care who you are. I snip. It ain't nothing to cut that bitch.
At all. It has been 6 years of learning to love myself. Baby, you are not going to mess with my relationship with me. So I don't play about me at all. I will cut you
as
off.
As you shouldn't.
Act like you never existed.
Okay.
Like, we can be in the same room and who are you? I will act like you never existed. But so, and even still, I was so scared to tell my aunt, because I knew if she questioned me, if she questioned, well, why would you do this? Why, you know how people do that. If she did that, I knew I would have to cut my aunt off.
So how was it received by your family when you did?
They apologized. they apologized. And like, it was just, you know, I love you. You know, I'm sorry you had to experience that. I didn't know. You know, I got the why didn't you tell me, but it wasn't in a, if that happened to you, why didn't you tell me? No, it was a why didn't you tell me? And it's so much like, y'all, I promise you, I remember at one point, my grandmother is like, she has a really, really strong tone. So even if you're not in trouble, sound like you're in trouble. So I remember one of them told me I would get in trouble if I told. And as a child, I went to the bathroom and it was hurting when I used it, you know. And when I went, I remember telling my grandmother it hurt when I went to the bathroom. And she was like, somebody touched you? But in this aggressive tone, I was like, no.
So you felt like, okay.
I like immediately was like, no. And my grandmother made me eat garlic, thinking it was like a UTI or something then.
Give us some water.
I just want you to know, at my big age, I just started being able to eat garlic. And I didn't connect why I couldn't.
It's the little small things.
I couldn't the cook little garlic powder. You couldn't pay me to eat garlic bread. I did not
cook the smell of garlic. Is that crazy how the little things that's in our memories, they're like little triggers, caused you to not eat garlic and you didn't know why? Yep. because that memory was just repressed.
Yep.
Let me tell you something. I don't know if anybody has told you this, but I'm going to tell you. I mean, I'm sure that many people have, but I'm going to tell you out of my mouth. I am proud of you.
Thank you, girl.
I am proud of everything that you've accomplished. I am proud of you for just speaking your truth. I'm proud of you for... Like, she's an author. Like, she's written 40 plus books. She's an author. Like, I need you to go to Amazon now and look for author Trinae. Because she's an author. I mean, what the... Like, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you, girl. Thank you.
You are doing awesome.
You.
I mean, I be doing what I can do when I can do it. You know,
Season is coming soon. Huh? Season is coming soon.
Girl, see, so before you go, because I like to do this to all my guests, okay?
I feel like I should be afraid.
You should be.
Security.
Okay. So, you got a minute to win it. I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and you have to just say the first thing that pops into your head. What is your favorite part of a man?
Dick.
What is your favorite position?
Ooh, back shots is the best shots.
You bitch. Okay. If you were on an island, and if you and your friends were on an island and you could only save one.
One is over there. So, you say friends. Oh, Fantasia. See, because if you had Chrissy, my cousin, because if I wouldn't have said her, she'd have been like, oh, so bitch.
What is the number one thing that you love about yourself that you just feel like this is the best part of me, bitch?
Oh, the fact that I don't play about me.
Like, and physically.
Oh, physically. It used to be my breasts. They gone now. My eyes.
Because you do, y'all. Y'all can't see what I can see, but she got some gorgeous ass eyes. Like she got the kind of eyes that you could just look into and just.
I cannot stand you. Because listen, when I was coming out of the coma, Fantasia came see me in ICU and she kept singing Pretty Brown Eyes to me.
Because yeah.
And the people say I started grunting at her.
Oh.
Because I used to sing it to you. I understand. I hate it.
I'm sorry. But y'all, she got some pretty eyes. What's your favorite food?
Oh, seafood. Crawfish. Bald crawfish.
What is the number one thing that you like to do to a man?
Work on his nerves. Spend his money.
She said work on his nerves. If you can change one thing about yourself, what would it be?
My bank account. I need Oprah bank accounts.
I mean, can you run me my coins? If you can change one thing about your past.
Nothing.
I totally agree, because our past is what made us who we are. That's why we sitting here being some badass bitches right now. That's why she's an author. Because she done been through some shit. When you go through some shit, then you become some shit. You know, I'm just saying. That's why she's an author right now. Y'all, please, if y'all have not already, if y'all should have been already doing this while we was running this, is going run to Amazon.
Hello.
Because she has 40 plus titles, so you can choose one. Author Trene. Go get your book, because y'all, I'm telling you, it is a good read. And let me know what you think about it. Please let everybody know where they can reach you, where they can find you.
Okay, so I'm a Facebook comedian in my spare time. So you can find me on Facebook. I love, 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 love interacting with my readers there. My Facebook name is Perry, P-A-R-E-E, Trene, T-R-E-N-A-E. Even if I think I'm about at my max of friends, but I got a second page, and that's Paris Trene. But you can find me there, my page public. We have a good time. I interact with my readers heavily. I have a reader group. It's Trene Presents Books by the Pound. You can add that group. We have a time there too. My Instagram is As Told by Trene. And that's the only social medias I'm really active on. I'm trying to get active on TikTok. My name there is Books by the Pound. I'm going to get active on that too.
Because we going to get that active, right? Okay, so listen, it was a pleasure
very much
having you on here. Like, I knew that this would be a good time, because she is a good time. Like, y'all don't know her. Like, I like, we clown. Oh my, she's just,
you're the first person to get me drunk.
We gonna leave that out the podcast, because we
no make sure we add this part. You had me sitting on side fast.
All right. So as I'm sipping my mind your business, I might have a good day on purpose cup. So anyhow, I mean, I just said that it was a pleasure having you on the show, but then she's telling my business. But anyway, y'all, let me leave you with this. You can create your own yes. It does not matter what you think you can't do. Know that you can. Believe that you can, and know that you will. You can be any and everything you want to be. It doesn't matter what happened in your past. And she is a perfect example of that. It doesn't matter what happens in your past. You can use that and create wonderful things.
Absolutely.
You can create wonderful things. So as you go out there and be great in their face, remember to have a good day on purpose, huh? You're welcome! Knock it out! Because, bitch, you're gorgeous. What's your weight loss? What's like one thing? Cause I know with my weight loss, little bitch, I was happy when I could do this.
I made a whole post about it, man.
I'm like, bitch, you to my legs. You thank see you to my legs. And the sex is like better when you can
is. When is, but no, but let me tell you what it was for me.
What?
Going to get waxed and I didn't have to hold my stomach up. Oh, my
Thank you to my fupa. Listen. Let me tell you,
looking for the picture of the leg cross,
wait,
baby.
Let me tell you when my moment was. Bitch, when I look down and I'm like,
and you can see the girl. You can see the girl.
I look, hey girl.
That thing was
been?
Like, I'm coming out.
Yeah,
I want the world to know.
Got to let it show. I'm. Yeah.
Listen, it's